All right. Hello, good morning, and welcome back to MRM City. This is our second day, and our next speaker is going to be Gigi, also known as CyRevolt, and they will be talking about agile software development and how it went for them in the field of software engineering. Have a good fun. Hi, I'm Gigi, also known as CyRevolt, and today I'm going to talk a bit about, you know, my work experience as a software engineer and, you know, what the term agile actually means and, you know, how I actually experience it in my own life. And I want to start with a funny question. Unfortunately, there's not too many people here, so it's not going to be representative, but who of you has an unfinished project? Let's start with that. Okay, I'm seeing all the hands. I know my people. Exactly what I was expecting. And now comes the tough one. Who of you thinks Agile is utter nonsense? I'm seeing, let's say, a few half hands, okay? And that's actually why I want to talk about this here today. Some people don't even really know what Agile actually means. They don't even know what other methods could be in software engineering, you know. And, well, this has been puzzling me also for a while because, you know, I've been working in the field now for about 10 years, maybe a bit more. And, you know, I get to experience, like, different companies and nuances and so on. And I will also give a few examples on that later. But before we get there, let's see roughly that we go a bit back in time, talk about, you know, what software has been before I was born, before every one of you was born even, and, you know, how, you know, people come to thinking of, you know, new ways to, like, schedule stuff or plan and stuff, because it's frankly not a very easy thing. And yeah, with that, let's actually look back in time now. What is your rough understanding of when we actually started talking about software? Let's say, who thinks, like, real software started, like, I don't know, in, let's say, the 80s. 80s, anyone? Before the 80s, maybe 70s? 70s, right. How about the 60s? 50s? Yeah. We actually did start talking about software already in the 50s. Some very early history, you might have heard of rocket science, like, this stuff went into space, and it successfully went into space, right? There is a few things that did try to go into space that never made it, exploded, you know, already before launching. And then there is some things which, you know, I don't know, maybe you got off course or something. But yeah, this was one successful mission. And what's interesting here is, when they started developing this, they already had that idea of having an iterative process. And iterative processes is something that is very much at the core of agile software development. I will not go too much into detail here, but just that you have a rough understanding, there were already people thinking that way. Other people were trying to, you know, rather plan everything up front. Who of you has heard of something called the waterfall model? Yeah, brilliant ideas. I'm seeing all the hands. So what does waterfall mean for those who do not know? The idea is very simple. You make a very big plan up front. You know everything that is going to happen, and you just need to pull through, and you're done perfectly on time, on budget. Everything is perfect. I'm already hearing laughter because that is not how software works, and it never actually did. So they were even talking about that as the so-called software crisis. Here in Germany in 1968, some people from NATO were, you know, invited and, you know, talking about what software engineering is for them. And, well, there were mixed feelings about it, you know, and one person came up with that sentence and said, to me, it's like a crisis. And then, of course, somebody else chimed in and was, that actually sounds a bit negative. Can we, like, you know, be a bit more optimistic and stuff? And that is literally, if you want to work in that field, that is literally how you're going to experience things. There will always be some people who are overly optimistic, some people who think they are realistic, and then there is those, you know, pessimists that would always be like, that's not going to work out anyway. Nobody has a clue what we're doing here. And that is the hard part to navigate. Anyway, yeah, the software crisis, it actually continued all through the 70s, the 80s, the 90s. And people were just lost. They didn't really have a good plan of, you know, how to develop software. I mean, maybe they did, right? But I'm saying they still were struggling a lot, like, at large. So, like, later in the mid-90s, there were some people stating exactly that again. Hey, this doesn't really work for us. We need to find something different. We need to find a good way for developing software. what is the good way for developing software? Well, that's how it went later. There's a recurring study called the Chaos Report. Who of you has heard of that report before? Chaos. I'm seeing two hands. Oh, three even. Awesome. Which is good because we're chaos people here. It perfectly fits the theme. But what you see continuing throughout time, even in like 2015, you see like only half of the projects were actually going, you know, kind of successful or half of them were challenged. Let's put it that way. About a fifth were utter failures, so they never went anywhere. And about a third, not even a third, were actually successful, right? So, yeah, if you look at this, I don't know, it feels like if you enter a new project and you're now thinking about, hey, are we going to succeed? What is my gut feeling about it? Just statistically speaking, out of three projects, you know, two will fail. So it's very likely that the first one you're looking at is actually going to be a failure. And you can never tell upfront, especially if you just join a new company, for example, right? You're working with new people and stuff. It's very, very tough. And it's tough for everyone. So yeah, this report, it's actually still being filed every year, I think. And I can only encourage you to actually look at that because, it gives you like lots of thought. And there is also, I think they studied like 1,000 or more projects. So it's really representative, right? So it's not like, I don't know, picky numbers or something. All right, and that came something that I assume also many people here have already heard of, the Agile Manifesto. Who has heard of the Agile Manifesto? Who has read the Agile Manifesto? Oh, actually, some people looked into it. I'm seeing three and a half hands. I found this very interesting. So when you try to look this up, you end up on a website with this photo in the background. It's a bit blurred, and you know you can hardly recognize anything. You just see there is like eight dudes standing in front of a whiteboard, and it's like, it's a situation that looks actually very, very sad in a way, right? They're like, oh yeah, it didn't really go that well or something. Anyway, so the Agile Manifesto has been translated into 68 languages. If you go to that website right now, you will see a list of all the different languages. So why would you, translate this pessimist mood into 68 languages? What do we tell people? Well, they came up with a few principles, and you see those right on the front page. And the principles actually sound very sensible, right? So what I find very interesting, they put people first. Like, it's the very, very first sentence. We're talking about individuals and how they interact, right? So individuals and interaction should always be above everything. Processes, tools, all nice and great, but at the end of the day, we're talking about people and people talking to each other. They need to collaborate. They need to communicate. A bit more on that also later. Then working software. So the problem is, if you follow that, you know, waterfall model, you have this very, very big plan. You got a lot of documentation up front. And then at some point you want to implement everything. And it's really tough to, you know, stick to that plan. Maybe the plan wasn't really perfect because people didn't really picture everything that is going to happen. And frankly, we saw lots of projects actually failed. So it's really hard to anticipate how a software project goes. And yeah, that was why they were saying, hey, we want working software in the first place. Documentation and stuff, we're not neglecting it, but we're putting it secondary. And that's always very important. Whatever they do here is they do not put things aside, but they put them second. And second means it's also important, but there is something that concerns us a bit more. Customer collaboration, it's a bit similar to the individuals thing, right? So it's also about communicating with people, and that is now with, in that sense, external stakeholders. But also, if you work in a company, you often have internal stakeholders. So people who are like, hey, we need this and that for our team. Can you help us, right? And if you're if you're the software development part in a larger company, then, you know, you might actually have faced that issue already where, you know, you had multiple parties coming from all sorts of directions, and now you need to navigate again and negotiate and stuff. Yeah, and frankly, that fourth part, responding to change, that is actually the thing that drives you away from the failure that is very likely going to happen if you try to come up with a very, very good plan up front and then it turns out it doesn't actually fit reality. So, you know, you need to be prepared for change. That's it. Very, very simple four principles. And then if you look a bit further at the website, there is actually a link to 12 principles. So out of 4, suddenly came 12. Yeah. Again, not going too much into details here. And yeah, I do encourage people to look at that and maybe a bit reflect on that. Like, you know, if you already work in the field or if you want to work in the field, this is what you're going to prepare for. But of course, that wasn't everything. Context is important. Who of you knows when the Agile Manifesto was actually written? Do you know the precise year? Just the year. Okay, let's see. So in the beginning, I asked about, you know, something very far back in time. Who of you thinks the Agile Manifesto is, let's say, 15 years old, not older? No? Hard to tell? Okay. Who thinks 20 years? 20? 20? Yeah. I'm seeing one hand. How about 25? 25? Okay, I'm seeing more hands. How about 30? They look like old people already. Think about it. Okay. So, yeah, I will resolve the thing. It is 25 years, very much nowadays. So, yeah, 25 years ago, some people were meeting. They were like good friends or something, and they met at a ski resort. They just, you know, went there to like have some snacks together, go skiing and talk. But the funny part is, they thought of themselves very much, I guess like a few people here, they were actually anarchists, right? they were thinking of themselves, it's their own words on their website. They were, and I quote that, a gathering of organizational anarchists would be hard to find, like a bigger one. So yeah, they were thinking like, hey, we're the big anarchists here. We're now going to redefine what software development means. I find that kind of funny. And I think if you just look at the photo from earlier, you might think, I don't know, those look like ordinary office people. But I can assure you, I've worked with plenty of people, and whatever they wear, be it suits, be it dresses, doesn't really matter. At the end of the day, everyone is a bit different in their own right. And yeah, I brought another citation. That one is a bit bigger. But yeah, it really shows what those people were thinking back in the days. And I find this one to be the most touching. Promoting organizational models based on people, collaboration, yada, yada, yada. That's it, right? It's really just a reflection of the values that are at the very front of the website. Anyway, this is just a short excerpt. If you want to read about it, I really encourage you to look at the history on agilemanifesto.org. And with that, let's see how things worked out, because this was 25 years ago, right? So technically, we could now have learned a lot as a software industry. What does the software industry do today? Who of you has heard that software nowadays means lots of success, like 100% success? No one, of course, because that's not how it works. As I said earlier, that Chaos Report thing, it's still ongoing and it's still reflecting roughly similar numbers. So now we have lots of write-ups. Hey, welcome. We got lots of write-ups now. They're like, you know, more or less complete, more or less reflecting that history I was talking about earlier. And yet we still face this issue. Who of you has seen that picture before? Yeah, it's a fun picture, right? Like, for summary, you know, it's about how a customer pictures something, then often they don't really understand what they're even talking about themselves. They maybe have a rough idea, you know, so it needs some refinement and stuff, and everybody has a bit of a different view. And at the end of the day, if you look at it, everyone has a clearly somewhat similar yet different understanding of what they're going to build. That happens very often, actually. And I personally think that is actually okay, because it only reflects that we are, after all, people, right? We're talking, we use words, words are lossy, right? I can use a word and it can have 1,000 meaning. If I just, shout out the word chaos here, who of you would have thought about the chaos report? I'm seeing no hands. Who of you would have thought about utter mess, like, my lock screen picture? Yeah, a few hands. Who would have thought of an awesome community here in Germany? I'm seeing lots of hands, right? So yeah, different words in different contexts have entirely different meanings. And I can speak from experience when you join a new company or a new project, or you're facing a new customer, try to align on all the words that you're using that sound like something that you're very familiar with, because it might be that, you know, somebody has like an entirely different understanding, like the customer here in that picture. Yeah, and with that, I want to talk a bit about like what I learned and what my experience was in the field over the years. So when I started working as a software developer or engineer, you know, some people call it this or that. It might be similar, the same roles. You know, I've already worked now for 6 companies, roughly. I'm neglecting one because I was once like one company got acquired by another company and I just worked there for a month and then went on to another. but that's a different story. Yeah, so it was different. Like also in terms of time, sometimes I worked for a company for just a year, maybe a month more, sometimes 3 years, sometimes even 5 years. And it was always a bit of a different setting and stuff. But I can say that all of those companies actually tried their best to achieve something, right? Otherwise, it doesn't even make sense. Why would you start something if you're not even sure that you would succeed in any way, right? So some optimist mindset always needs to be there. And also we, like as a team or teams, we tried our best, right? We tried to make things happen that people were picturing. Maybe we had our own ideas, right? And yeah, frankly, it was never easy, right? There might be some cases where you say, okay, I got a lot of experience doing this and that, and now you're doing it for a second or third time, then things get a bit easier. But it's very, very common in software projects that you're facing something new. And that is, frankly, again, because you always need to learn something new again. You need to maybe learn a new language, a new framework or something. Lots of these things happen, or you know, you do something that you've never done before. Let's say you've made like 100 apps, and now suddenly you need to work on weird firmware stuff, and you've never done that before. Maybe you need to find somebody else to, you know, actually do that for you, or you try to learn it yourself. And both are uncertainties, right? Hiring someone can be more or less challenging because you never know if they are an expert or not, especially if you're not the expert yourself. I've also been there. So one company I worked for, they were actually interesting. They were a very small company, and they were very willing to try like lots of different tools, different methods. You might have heard of, you know, different methodology in terms of, you know, software development. Like you might have heard of like something called Kanban. Has anyone heard of Kanban? Everyone has heard of Kanban. One of those methods. You might have heard of something called Scrum. Scrum, everyone has heard of Scrum, right? It's very, very simple words. People just remember them over time. We did try different methods. We tried different tools. Yeah, at some point I had to move on for personal reasons. That was actually, I was very lucky with that. And if you're looking for a job in the field of software engineering, I would actually also watch out that you find something, you know, where you can try out different things, especially if you're new. I want to talk a bit about those, you know, kind of chances that you might have. So I once had that chance to join another company. It was a startup. Who of you has worked for a startup, like true startup? Yes, I'm seeing hands. Excellent. I'm also seeing a bit of a smile. And yeah, when I joined a startup once, you know, I was one of those people. I was, you know, pretty young still. I didn't have too much experience. Apparently, a bit of a talent, so it was good enough. And so I got hired. And I can tell you, we didn't just follow all the startup memes, right? I mean, we did have a few gadgets, of course. And I don't know, we were playing darts and stuff. That was a lot of fun. But like beyond all that, we were actually very well organized. And that is thanks, of course, to, you know, the people who ran the company. But also because, you know, collaborating as a team actually worked pretty well then. We even had like something called sprints, if you remember Scrum. That is something you would find there. So there is that idea that you would have like a fixed like 2-week sprints, for example. So you would work within 2 weeks and then see what happened in that time. What do we need to do next and stuff. We actually did that, and we delivered many, many, many things. It was very interesting. Frankly, we also did have a lot of fun, and that was not just because of Darts, but also we were working with exciting technology. Like, back then I was working with a language that everybody loves. It's called JavaScript. Everybody has access to it. It's right in your web browser. You can do tons of stuff with that. It even runs in runtimes. You know, it can be on embedded systems. It can be on server systems. You know, something called Node.js or Dino nowadays. You can have a ton of fun with that and develop new stuff. And back then, the language was still in development, and also the web browsers were still very much in development. It was very exciting. At the end of the day, though, the idea that the company had was a failure in a way, but not too much. We were finally acquired by another company. That's the one I just worked for like a month, roughly. And then moved on because we were not too certain if that acquisition would actually still work out. You sometimes need to prepare. That's something like life happens, right? So you can never be sure that if you have a big plan for life, let's say you want to study, you want your PhD, you want a second PhD, you want to be the most brilliant person in the world, that's not going to work out. That works for like one in a billion or something, right? So I learned a few things, like swimming. Who of you like swimming? Who of you has gone swimming this year? Yeah, I'm seeing a few hands. Swimming is nice. And you also need to do that as an employee one. So I once joined a company. I was very new, and I was presented something. So there was already a plan somewhere, and they showed me this slide. And I want to check real quick. Does everybody know what this kind of plan is called? Does the word Gantt ring a bell? Yeah, that is a Gantt chart. And now, I mean, I just drew that in black with my shitty hand drawing skills. If I hadn't done it in black, I would do it in blue. Then you might recognize this shape here, which looks a bit like a waterfall. So we got like all those management tasks here going all the way down, and then there's some design, and then comes agile development. So it's like, this is where the software developers are drowning in a river, okay? It wasn't actually that bad in the end. I just found it funny. We actually had very competent people there, and we had something I hadn't really faced in that way before. It was called a Scrum Master. Who of you had the chance to have a dedicated Scrum Master in their team? I'm seeing a few hands. Awesome. And what I learned there was actually very interesting, and it's frankly something very, very human and simple again. First of all, cooperation. I already told you in teams I worked for before I actually, you know, had people who collaborate very well, but yet it's always a bit different. And let me reveal that secret to you. It's really just about talking to one another. Sometimes, you know, you might be thinking, hey, I'm developing something here, right? And then, you know, at some point somebody will talk to me. But I actually want to encourage you, like, if you're doing that, try to exchange a bit more. Like, let's say, I don't know, every day, every second day. Many companies do something that is called a daily stand-up. Who of you has heard of daily stand-ups and done daily stand-ups? Of course, we see lots of hands. Who am I actually talking to? I was actually hoping to, you know, see a few people who haven't actually worked in the field already. It's where people talk to one another. And there is two ways of doing that. There is like, yada, 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 I did something. And there is, hey, I did something very interesting. Somebody else chimes in and you're ending up in an actual conversation, ending up in cooperation. So that was also the idea of Agile, right? So involving stakeholders, doing the very same thing, keeping in touch with them, and if anything changes in terms of requirements, and that can just be due to communication, you know, be ready for that change. So it's essentially like, you know, navigating a maze or something, you know, trying to find something with a group of people. So it's really just about managing uncertainty. And as a manager, you would actually need to look at your people and provide the space for them to explore, because otherwise they get lost. It sounds like a contradiction, but it's not, I assure you. And then communication. So yeah, always keep in mind you're talking to people, you're dealing with people everywhere. Like regardless of what you're doing, there might be that, you know, sole hero developer in a way, but that's actually no one. At the end of the day, even if you you know, develop something on your own, you still need to sell it to someone, or you still need to present it to someone and check, hey, did I actually build the right thing? And did I build that thing right? And that is the very, very hard part. And that's why you should be in touch all the time, because if you do that for, let's say, half a year and then check back and you're like, hey, look, here's your thing, you end up, you know, with that swing on the tree image again. And yeah, your your boss or whatever stakeholder is going to say, nah, that is not actually what I pictured. By the way, we're at the end of the project now. Sorry, I'm not buying that. And that would be very sad. So yeah, in that sense, always be prepared for that. Misunderstandings happen, so you need to always, you know, check that you really got that understanding that the other person had in mind. Confusion occurs. You might know that, you know, people sometimes mix up words or something, right? And that actually happens, you know, without any malintent or something. It just happens. I mean, sometimes, you know, you might be talking, and you're suddenly using a word and you're like, oh, wait, no, I wanted to say something else. That happens all the time. And sometimes even subconsciously, we don't even notice. Like, you know, I, for example, I've done like lots of presentations. Sometimes I look back and I'm like, what was I actually saying at that point? It sounds a bit weird, but yeah, it does happen. Sometimes you can correct things. And yeah, that's about communication again. Now, this is the funny one. I was once in a working for a company where I was talking to my boss and I was, you know, trying to communicate and stuff. And at some point I said to my boss, that does not sound very agile. The one thing I did not know at that point, because I had completely different expectations, it was a small company, rather young and stuff, he was not a big fan of that word. I think I actually lost my entire reputation just speaking out that one sentence. Yeah, it didn't go too well. I did spend a few years at that company. At some point, you know, the project I was working on, it was going extremely at low pace, you know, like we weren't making much progress, actually, at least from what I could see, because, you know, I was kind of at the end implementing things. I tried to push a bit here and there, didn't really work out, and another sad story. At the end, I was actually let go. That was last year. And that will also happen, and you also need to be prepared for that change in your life. It can always happen that you lose a job, and you need to have a plan for it. So if you had that big plan, like, hey, I'm going to be the most brilliant person in the world, and all the doors will be opened, that is frankly not going to happen. Yeah, be prepared for facing that. And I can assure you, the best thing to have at that point is a community, friends, you know, people to talk to. So yeah, and if that happens, and that's where we're being agile again, we actually need to get back on track. So yeah, last year, it was actually even more than half a year that I was searching for a new job. And I really was like, on the one hand side, I really need a job again, right? So I don't want to be unemployed, especially for a longer period of time. And half a year is actually a very long period in your life. But yeah, at some point, you know, I was trying to be a bit picky also. I wanted to have a good job. I wanted to have something that is fulfilling. Maybe this new fancy language I had already learned then, a language called Rust. Maybe you've heard of it. I'm seeing hands. It's a very beautiful programming language. And if you're like me coming from JavaScript, it's actually very refreshing. You can do many, many things with Rust that you can't directly do in JavaScript. That's awesome. Anyway, so yeah, I was very lucky at the end of the day. I did find a job in December last year, where I'm now in a very, very small team. We're doing development stuff. We're now actually forming our team again. We're developing a plan, and we are being trusted. That is the most important thing. I already told you earlier, as a manager, you need to provide space, and also you need to trust your people. People are smart, right? People understand things. They know what they're doing, even if you're not convinced, right? If in doubt, just talk to them. And then I hope we will also, yeah, get into an interesting mode of development now. As I'm saying, we're developing our plan, and I hope it's going to work out very well. And yeah, with that, thank you very much. Unfortunately, we do not have time for questions, but I will be around, and I'm also around, you know, Fedi and all that stuff, where you can find me. Thank you so much for listening at this early hour.